Give that little update. Many of you who know who my dad is, a couple months ago, he had a heart attack, and he was told he was going to have a quadruple bypass. And so last month, they went in to do the quadruple bypass, and it turns out they only needed to do a double bypass. So that was a praise that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. So that was about early last month. So now he's just in recovery. He's not in as much pain as it was, of course, but it is now a mental battle because you know how my dad is, or those who know how my dad is very active and just loves to be involved in everything and do a lot, and he can't. So if you will, pray for him. It's becoming a mental battle of I just gotta get better. I have to rest up. So if you're in Romans chapter 10, if you will stand for the reading of God's word, Romans chapter 10. We'll start in verse number 12. It says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of great joy." You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with this message. Lord, it is not mine. It is yours, Lord. I pray that you would use me like you did Elijah and just say, Lord, I am just an instrument. Anything that comes about is up to you. Lord, you are God. It is nothing. I'm just your servant. So, Lord, use this to work in both my heart, but also in whoever needs to hear it. Lord, we love you and pray this in your holy, precious name. Amen. So, I like to bake. Growing up with my siblings, my sister and I baked. My wife loves to bake. I like my baked goods. I had to refrain from going to the dessert table yesterday just because I love cookies, I love brownies, I love anything that's baked, I love pie, I love it all. And so growing up, my sister and I, we would make chocolate chip cookies. And there was this one time, my sister and I were making said chocolate chip cookies, and we started putting it onto the cookie tray, and for some reason, something didn't look right, but we couldn't think of it. We were just like, all right, if we just get it into the oven, when it comes out, everything will be right, and it'll taste fine. And so we put it into the oven. They got done, came out, and something still didn't look right. There was something off. And then we looked over next to the mixer, and where we had been reading the recipe was on the back of the chocolate chip bag that was still unopened. Now, I'm not going to say who was at fault, but I am the youngest, most forgetful, but because I was the youngest, I was not in charge of mixing things. I'm just going to leave that there. So we forgot something that was essential to chocolate chip cookies, chocolate chips. And so I just wanted to preach you a message on the essentials of missions. And first, I want to see the people of missions. It says in verse number 12, "There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call on him." The first person of missions I want to see is there's a Savior. See, missions requires that we preach Christ. John 1 says the word became flesh and dwelt. John chapter 1 says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. There was an idea that During in college, one of our missions professors said, that was the first instance that we see of New Testament missions, because the Word became flesh. What are we when we go to our country, to whatever field you are called? We are the Word going to the darkness. 1 Corinthians 5 says that, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's name, be reconciled to God. So we see there is the Savior. The first person is the Savior. Second is the sinner. Verse number 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that whosoever. Jesus Christ, there isn't just the Savior isn't just for people in the church. There isn't a Savior just for a select elect. There isn't a Savior just for a certain race, a certain kind of people. No, that whosoever, if you look into the Greek, that whosoever means whosoever. That's the great part about it. We see all throughout John, it says, whosoever believeth. Whosoever abideth in God. Whosoever, 1 John, whosoever confesseth before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. I love that idea of whosoever. Jesus Christ didn't die just for a specific color. Huh, what about that? He didn't die just for people of a specific mindset. He died for the whosoever. The Reverend Billy Graham, back in his early crusade, once said, and you can look it up on YouTube. I found it randomly on Facebook. It had a little thing, but God isn't the God of a white man. He isn't the God of a black man. This was back during the civil rights movement. He was saying this, but he's a God ready for the world. So we see there's a Savior. We see there are the sinners. Second, I want to see there's the soul winners. It says, how shall they believe, verse 14, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So who's the preacher? Well, in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I love that shall. It's not if you feel like it. It's not if you think you're called to it. It's not you might be, you might not be witnesses. It is you shall be. It is a definite, it is expected of believers. So, it's not just me. If you are saved, you're a soul winner. If you go back through the life of Paul, sure, it says, all throughout Acts, it says, yes, he went through these places teaching and preaching in the synagogue. However, when you actually see Paul preaching to someone, it's his testimony. You see, he says that he does it to Felix. He says it to Agrippa. Each time he says, I was on the road to Damascus. He gave his testimony. Every one of us who are saved has that testimony. That is our number one weapon in our arsenal, is our testimony. My testimony is, I can probably save this for tomorrow, but I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was preaching on hell. And I realized that the torments that he was going through, he was going Luke 16, 19 through 31. The torments that burn forever. And he said, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, these torments are for you. And that night I realized those torments were for me. See, that's my testimony. And my mom what I went for during the invitation, my mom showed me that it was only through the blood of Jesus Christ can I escape the torments that burn forever. You see, that is short, simple, but that's a testimony. You have it. See, so we see not only that there is the Savior, the sinner, the soul winner, but I also want to see number four, there's a sender. Verse 15, it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Now, who's the sender? Well, we can turn to Matthew 28, where it says, "And all power is given to me. Go ye and teach all nations." So the Holy Spirit sends. We also see that in Acts 13, 1 and 2, where the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them." The Holy Spirit sends. But if you continue going on in verse 3, it says, "And the church, when they had prayed and laid their hands, they sent them." So is the local church. So the sender is, yes, the Holy Spirit, but it's also the local church. And that's the people of missions. So we see, first off, the people of missions. And secondly, I want to see the places of missions. If you will, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, verse number 8. We read the beginning part, but we'll read it again. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Now, there are people who, at this time, yes, it was talking very literal. They were in Jerusalem. So, yes, they were going to be in Jerusalem. And if you look through history, yes, they started in Jerusalem. They went to Samaria. To Judea, and in Samaria, and eventually the uttermost parts of the world. However, I want to lay this thought onto your mind. Where is your Jerusalem? Where's your Judea? Where's your Samaria? Well, there's always an uttermost parts of the world. But, again, another, my missions professor, I love him to death. It was Brother Norman Johnson. Since graduating, went home to be with the Lord. But he once preached it that this way, and I love the way that he did it, so I'm going to steal it from him. And he said, "Jerusalem is your town, your neighborhood." Brother Schlegel, your Jerusalem, Downers Grove. When we're home, our Jerusalem is Kannapolis. Your Jerusalem is whatever neighborhood you're living. It is your workplace. And now those two may be different, but wherever you are, that's your Jerusalem. So if you are a witness and that's your Jerusalem, where is your Judea? Judea is your state. So what can you possibly be thinking? Brother Caleb, how can I possibly reach my state? I'm just a layman in the church. Well, I'm pretty sure your pastor has some ideas. You can always write your congressman, write your senator saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you." You could always pray for your congressmen and senators. You see, once you get that idea of the whosoever involves your state, things become a little bit more real. So that's Jerusalem and Judea. Where's your Samaria? Well, your Samaria is your country. Our president needs God with him, whether for salvation or for guidance, whatever it is. I can't say if he's saved or not. Lord knows that's between him and God. But he needs God. Our legislation, they need God. They need God's power to direct them as he will. there's always something to pray for. There's always something to do in thinking of, all right, how can I help my country? How can I win my country to Christ? And finally, there's the uttermost parts of the world. And that is, well, there's no other way to put it than the uttermost parts of the world. So how can you be a witness to the uttermost parts of the world? Well, pray for missions. There's a bulletin board in the back with all of your missionaries. Pretty sure they send prayer letters. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for, Lord, give me extra money because I know that they need some help so that I can give to missions. Lord, I pray that you would be with the country that those missionaries are in so that wherever they are, they can grow. Their mission, their Jerusalem can grow. You see, when you combine the whosoever with the uttermost parts of the world, you can start thinking like a missionary. That's missions. And finally, I want to see, we've seen the people of missions, we've seen the place of missions, and thirdly, I want to see the practice of missions. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." So what's the practice of missions? They're the people of missions. I'm part of it. You're part of it. We also have, there's sinners. I can be a sender. I could pray. I can help. But how can I be a missionary? Well, verse 19 says, first thing I want to see is go. See, the hardest part about being a missionary is taking that first step. The hardest part about being a soul winner is taking that first step towards the person that you don't think will accept Christ. Oh no, he looks like he's in the world. I don't think I could witness to him. But God said, go. There's no, you know, if you think that he might listen, if you think that you could possibly win him to Christ, then go. He just says, go. When Kristen and I graduated, the last week of classes, our missions professor came up to our last class and said, "Young people, I've had you guys for 4 years. I've given you my heart. I've given you my mind. We've given you the tools. In my mind, you're missionaries. Now just go." That was the last lesson that he taught us. Because we have the tools. You have your testimony. You have tracks, tracks in the back. You have a Bible. You have a place. The first step of being a missionary is go. That first step is also one of the hardest steps. Why? Because and I'm guilty of this, so I'm preaching about myself right now. We tend to be scared. Scared of what? Scared of rejection. What if I don't give the gospel the right way? What if I fumble through the gospel. What if I fumble through my testimony? What if I keep saying ums and ahs and that just is just so distracting? What if this person says, I don't want it? Then all that time that I just said would be wasted. You see, oftentimes the biggest distraction of just going is ourselves. But as we see here, we don't have the power. Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me, Jesus Christ, in heaven and in earth. You see, missions, the process of going, the first step of going is to realize, yeah, it's not me. I'm going to have to divorce myself, divorce my inhibitions from going, and say, Lord, if you want me to, I'll go. Isaiah, when he saw God high and lifted up, first said, woe is me, for I'm undone. He was probably the godliest man at that time. King Uzziah had died. He was a godly king. Now Isaiah, all alone, said, Lord, I'm a man, I'm done. I'm a man of unclean lips. Angel came and brought that coal, cleansed his lips. And then he heard God say, who will go? Then said, I hear my. When we get out of our own selves, when we get out of our own minds, that's when we can hear God say, hey, that guy over there, he might need you. He might need you to give him a track. He might need you to give him the gospel. He might need you to be a friend so that you can plant the seed, and later I will bring someone that will water and someone else to bear the fruit. So we see first off, and the practice of missions is go. The second is, well, to preach. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We also see in earlier in Matthew 9, it says that Jesus went about the cities and synagogues teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You see, there is a preaching. There is a proclaiming. The second part, practice of being a missionary is preaching, proclaiming. Preaching the gospel. It's being able to say, hey, Jesus Christ died for you. Here's my testimony. I was a sinner, and here's how God saved me. You see, it's not only just being able to go, being able to preach, being a soul winner, but also, third, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. That's discipleship. One of the less, I want to say less taught, but exponentially needed aspect of missions is discipleship. I mean, growing up, yes, I knew that a missionary, yes, he went to a foreign land, he won souls to Christ, but I didn't learn until later on in life that he discipled. When we did the application for BWM, they even asked the question, how are you planning on discipling someone to take over your ministry, to take over your church, to become a national pastor? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. You see, there's a lot of Christians, and there's a whole generation past that there was a big revival that went forward. They got saved, but then there was no discipleship. You see, biblical missions isn't just going somewhere and preaching the gospel. It is discipling. Paul, when he went to Ephesus, met a young man by the name of Timothy. He met his family, and he discipled him. Young Timothy grew up hearing the gospel, being taught by Paul, so that later on, Paul said, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, knowing of them who you've been assured of." Knowing of whom you have learned them. What did he learn? He said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." You see, part of being a missionary is being able to teach someone. It's basically being able to teach someone so that they can take over. Chris and I believe that God wants to be church planters. That means we have to be able to witness and be and win Japanese souls to Christ, but it also means that we have to teach them. We have to teach them in the ways that we have learned, which is how to be a witness. How to teach. So in closing, I want to leave this thought in your mind. There was one time after we got married, Kristen and I, we were like 2 months married, or 2-3 months married, something like that. But she knows that I love lemon bars. And we had some lemons, and she thought, he's at work, I'm going to surprise him with some lemon bars. And so she squeezed the lemons and then made the bread, and something happened there, I don't know what. But she went to pour the lemon juice in to make the part of the lemon bars that is said lemon, and realized that she forgot a bowl to catch the lemon juice, so it all went down the drain. But we had Minute Maid lemonade, and we thought, okay, we can probably still salvage this. That was our last lemon, so we thought, all right, maybe this Minute Maid lemonade will work, and so. She used the Minute Maid lemonade, and so I was on my way home from work. Got a call and said, "Caleb," and she said, "Caleb, something's not right. It's not rising. So you don't have to try this, but I don't think it's gonna be good." And so when I got home, she was like, "Caleb, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's not looking like it's coming out. It's gonna be good. So you don't have to. Again, you don't have to try." And so, being the good husband, I mean, we're very early on married. I had to try it. It's because I had to be a good husband, and that is the only time that I have said that her cooking was disgusting. We then learned what happened with the bread, and Minute Maid lemonade does not work at all as a substitute for real lemon juice. But you see, there was something essential that was missing from that lemon bread, from those lemon bars, and that it became no longer lemon bread. Lemon bars, but something distasteful. See, without these three things, without these essentials for missions, I could have the people, yes, I'm a missionary. I have a gospel. There's unsaved people all around me. I'm in the place that God wants me to be, but if I don't go, if I am not practicing missions, am I a missionary? No. If I'm trying to practice, but I don't even know to whom I'm supposed to be preaching to, if I have no idea where I'm supposed to be even preaching, where I'm supposed to go, am I being a missionary? No. If I don't believe that the place that I'm supposed to be is where I am, am I being an effective missionary? No. You see, these three things are essential. They are needed. They are a must for biblical missions. And so I want to ask you this tonight. Are you being a missionary? Are you following these essentials? Do you have these essentials in your life? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that as we go from this meeting, Lord, I pray that if there's an essential that we don't have, if there's an essential that we are lacking, if there is some part in our life that we are not being missionaries, we're not being ambassadors like you called us to be, I pray that we will get that right with you. Lord, if there's someone here, they're not even saved, Lord, I pray that they would get saved so that they can be missionaries. Lord, help me to be a missionary even while I'm here, Lord. Lord, we love you and we pray all this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Pastor.
Just let you remain seated where you are. And just encourage you to, ask the Lord, just come before the Lord honestly and talk to him about your